Ladies, welcome back. We're in our Bible study now here, and at lesson 28, we're in Genesis 16, verses 1 through 16 today, where Sarai and Hagar is the main theme, and Connie, welcome back to teaching us here at the table.
Oh, thank you, and you know, hopefully we'll all see just how gracious God is to us as women.
Oh, good. You know, why don't I start by reading the verses, and then Connie will teach. Here we go, Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abraham said to Sarai, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Well, then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen." So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. "You are a God of seeing," she said. "Truly here I have seen him who looks after me." Therefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram.
Thank you, Amy. So let's go back to the top of this chapter and just kind of walk through what's going on. We find out that Sarai, Abram's wife, has a plan, and it's been 10 years in the land. They haven't had any children. Sarai comes up with this probably brilliant idea, she thought, to have a child by her maidservant. And that apparently was a social custom of the day, that if a woman was barren, didn't have children, her slave girl, her servant girl, could bear a child. And then the owner, the mistress, would be kind of the real mother in a sense. But we're going to find this plan didn't go so well. And we will also see how God acts in and through it. So we find out that Sarah has this plan. And she tells Abram about it, and he agrees. And it reminds us again of back in Genesis 2 and 3 about the woman is to be the helpmeet of the man and how she does have great influence over her husband, but also how the man is to lead. And I think here we have an instance of Abram perhaps not leading well because he followed Sarah's advice. I would like Amy to read a passage we have in Proverbs that's probably familiar to most of us, but it helps us remember that it's God's plans that are important.
Yes, it's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths."
All right. And another part to think about this, when Abram agreed to go into Hagar and have a child with her, he was forgetting, again, what God had said in Genesis 2 and 3, and it had to do about one man and one woman and what a marriage looked like. And even though it was a social custom to do this, it wasn't God's original plan. And we do know from Scripture that God also spoke specifically to the kings of Israel and told them not to have lots of horses and not to have many wives because it was going to lead to trouble. So even though the patriarchs in Scripture did certain things, it doesn't mean God definitely, it wasn't God's best. We're going to find that this plan of Sarai's then has great problems, because right away then we find that Hagar, as soon as she finds she's conceived a child, she's pregnant, says she looks with contempt on her mistress, Sarai. And that word means to esteem lightly, to despise. And that's the start of the trouble here. I mean, well, actually, the whole plan was the trouble, but here we have some interpersonal relationship problems. And there's a proverb I just recently sunk into my heart, and it's Proverbs 13:10, which I'll have Amy read, and then I'll talk about it a little bit.
Sure. It says, "By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom."
All right. Another way that that first part of the proverb could be translated is pride is the cause of contention. And as we consider that, isn't it true that in most conflicts, most great disagreements between people, there's an element of pride because things
yes.
aren't? Yes, right. And so, as we consider this situation, if Hagar had been a bit more humble about her situation, it probably wouldn't have developed the way it did. So we find because now she's pregnant and Sarai's not, she's got something Sarah doesn't have, she is going to treat her with disdain. And that is grievous to Sarai. So Sarai, then we find, blames Abram. Reminds us again of Genesis chapter 3, of the blame going around. And Abram really absolves responsibility because he tells Sarai to do whatever she wants to Hagar.
Yeah.
And then Sarai chooses to afflict, treat poorly, treat harshly Hagar. And it's the same word for afflict that we see what's going to happen to the children of Israel when they're in Egypt. They're going to be afflicted. And so it's funny. Here we have Hagar, the Egyptian, being mistreated by her mistress. And then later on, the Israelites are going to be mistreated by Egyptians. And so it just kind of circles around in human nature. Our sin keeps popping up. So then we find that because of that harsh treatment, Hagar decides to flee. And as we consider this, Amy, think about what God's word says about how servants are to treat their masters, or how to respond to their masters.
Yeah, 1 Peter 2:18 through 19 tells us, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly."
All right. And so Hagar and Abram and Sarai didn't have the benefit of the New Testament and all of Scripture like we do. But as we consider their actions, just in this short paragraph of the account of what's happening, we see a lot of sin going on.
Yeah.
And if any of them had been following God's word, they could have avoided some of these situations and troubles.
Yeah, boy, we sure see that today, don't we?
We do. And hopefully we can learn from
yes.
their example. So going on, though, in this passage, we find that God is gracious because he acts and he sees and he knows. And so going on, we find out that the angel of the Lord appears to Hagar as she's out there in the wilderness, and she's thirsty and she's alone, and she's pregnant. And it's a terrible time for her. But truly, this is the first appearance in Scripture of what is probably Jesus Christ, a pre-incarnate Christ, where he comes to her and meets her need.
Yes, it says the angel of the Lord. So that's Jesus, isn't it?
It is. And yeah. She recognizes that the Lord is talking to her from the rest of the passage. And so as we look at him talking to her, we find out, first off, he knows her name. He calls her by name. And then he also talks about her position, servant of Sarai.
Yes.
And so right away, he knows where we are. And he actually went and found her. But then he asks her some very, very important questions that help her consider what she's doing.
Yeah.
And so we find out that he asks her where she's come from and where she's going. And really what she's doing is she's fleeing from her mistress. She's fleeing a bad situation, and she's going back home to Egypt because she's on the way to Egypt. And so we see that he is showing her where she is and calling her to account for her actions. But then we also find that he is going to help her see things in a different way and help her to obey and do what is right. And so that's a beautiful, beautiful thing, because he then tells her to return
yeah.
and submit. And she's supposed to do the right thing. And then he also tells her that he gives her promises. which is really beautiful because this is an Egyptian slave.
Yeah.
And God is meeting her in her need and revealing himself to her and helping her understand who he is and why it's good to obey him. Because then he tells her that he's going to multiply her offspring, which reminds us of earlier in Genesis how Abram and Sarai are to have many offspring. And then he also tells her that she's going to bear a son. Mm-hmm. And he tells her the son's name. And interestingly enough, Ishmael means God hears.
Ah.
And so Hagar, in her affliction, in her crying, God has heard her misery, and he is meeting her in her need. The next part then really it has to do with, it says, he shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand shall be against everyone. And so we know that this Ishmael is going to be strongly independent. And then everyone's hands against him, we find out he's going to be just live in hostility. And so strong, independent person. And actually, I think in a sense, he's like his mother, Hagar, because she exhibits some of those types of qualities. But God is promising that he's going to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find in verse 13 what's beautiful. Hagar then she calls on the name of the Lord who spoke to her and says, you are a God of seeing. And she comes to understand God in a new way because he has seen her need. He's responded to her need. He's appeared to her and met her need. And truly, as women, that's what we need also. We need God in our lives showing us what's true, who he is, and how he can meet our needs. And so here she calls the well after that name. And then we find out that she truly has learned something of the Lord because she returns. And she has this baby, and Abram names him Ishmael, but it's not told. But we know that she's submitting to Sarai and that she has obeyed the word of the Lord. And again, what a beautiful picture of God meeting somebody in their affliction, revealing himself, teaching them something of himself, and then them responding to it.
Ladies, and we need to do that today. And we've got his word where we can meet him there and learn about him. And he does respond. So hopefully, that ladies, this has inspired you to want to dig even deeper in Scripture. We're going to leave it here for right now. And then Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk a little bit more about this.